is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Daily Energy News Beat stand-up here on this gorgeous Monday, January 16th, 2022. As always, I'm your humble correspondent, Michael Tanner, coming to you from an undisclosed location here in Dallas, Texas, joined by the executive producer of the show, the purveyor of the show, and the director and publisher of the world's greatest website, energynewsbeat.com, Stuart Turley. My man, how we doing today?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we're going to have a great week, Michael.
Yes, we will. We did have a great week. Unfortunately, if you are listening to this, it is a Monday, so we won't hold it against you if you aren't in a great mood. We hope you guys had some fun this weekend. Stu, did you do anything interesting this weekend?
You bet. I got to spend some time with my daughter. I had her birthday, so can't complain.
Oh, happy birthday to her. That's awesome. I didn't really do anything too crazy except watch NFL football. Nothing better than watching the Chargers absolutely crumble and lose it on top of saving a two-way parlay that I had. So thank you, Trevor Lawrence. Much appreciated. We will see how the games are right now. Currently, we're actually recording this Sunday night here at about 5:30, and the Giants and Vikings are playing right now. So if you're asking me, go Giants. And then we get the Bengals and Ravens tonight. But besides that, and NFL football, Stu, we have a great, great show lined up. A lot happened this weekend. First off, this is actually happening today. Really hilarious, actually. We ran this on Newsbeat. Greta Thunberg calls for protest violence or for protest against expansion of German coal mine. We've got a bunch of funny videos. Stu is getting a lot of traction with that on Twitter. Next, I can't even pronounce this. Halvinian Crustone, which is basically a electric eco-friendly ship out of the EU. It refuses to take electric cars on board. Is that electric vehicle racism? We will cover if that is the case. Also, again, Stu brings the most depressing stories on the planet to us. USDA reveals U.S. corn harvested are critically low amid mega drought. Should ethanol be shut down permanently? I actually have some thoughts on that. Next, we'll fly over to Pakistan and talk about their LNG crisis and how it sparks bag gas trade and why this puts children at risk. I mean, if you're, I would click the link below in the bio to check out this article because the cover image says it all. It's literally kids with bags of gas on their back. It can only be dangerous. And then the last article that we'll cover is titled World's Largest FSRU Gets Upgraded for Deployment to Hong Kong. Just to give you an idea, FSRU stands for Floating Storage and Regasification Units. So good for Hong Kong. They do definitely need this one. Stu will kick it over to me to cover what's happened really in finance this weekend, which has been very little other than a very interesting move by the De Beers Mining Company, which is a little outside of our scope, but I think it's interesting who they plucked their new CEO from. So we'll cover all of that and a bag of chips, guys. But first, check us out on the world's greatest website, energynewsbeat.com. Also check us out, dashboard.energynewsbeat.com. One-stop shop for all your news and data. We just rolled out version 1.1 yesterday. Give us about 2 weeks, we'll have 1.2 available. We are going through a really big UI change for version 2 that is sort of undergoing it the same way. So thank you for all the support we've gotten. You can check out all the stories we were about to mention via the links below in the description and also at the world's greatest website, energynewsbeat.com. Another of the pleasantries, though, Stu, where do you want to begin today's show?
Well, let's start with our buddy Greta. And so when you sit back and take
friend of the
a
show,
look.
Friend of the show, Greta.
Friend of the show. She knows that we care about the economy. I mean, the ecology and the environment. And when Greta is always mentioned at things, the title of this article is Greta Thunberg Calls for Protest Against Expansion of German Coal Mine, Video of Police Violence. This is actually fairly serious from the standpoint that I believe coal was almost up 35%. And it is now a gigantic portion of what they're having to use. In fact, Michael, they were tearing down a wind farm in order to keep a coal mine open. Well, all of the protesters came in and Greta joined thousands of demonstrators to march on the large-scale protest in Germany. And there's only two protesters, and I love this one. Pinky and Brian remained holed up in a tunnel.
Of course, they're the name of the protesters.
Right. But in this article, Michael, I just have to give a shout out to D. Scott on Twitter. He posted this out there, and it was a I've never seen anything like this. The police were forcing people around, and then they got into the mud, and then there's this druid guy or a monk pushing them around. So it was actually pretty humorous, but there is more entertainment than you can possibly shake a stick at. Part of the problem, Michael, is the energy hypocrisy. They could have avoided all of this if they had just stepped in and used natural gas, not bought on Russian market prices, but locked in on contracts. Russia might not have invaded Ukraine. So if they had long-term contracts in place rather than going, we're going renewable. Hang on, let me get this right. We're going renewable. If they had planned on renewable over a long period of time, it would have happened a lot smoother. So your
hypocrisy
thoughts.
Is just dripping in this article, if only because Germany, probably like the heart of the EU renewables transition, is attempting to open an open pit coal mine. I mean, I love that. Make coal great again. All about that. But it's just hilarious that it's Germany that needs to open an open pit coal mine because they don't have Russian gas, which they've relied on for their energy, but they've shut down their nuclear, which is the cleanest source of energy. It just all weaves its way back to this is what happens when you let the inmates run the asylum. You right. let these whack jobs make policies. This is what happens. You end up with open pit coal mines. And I joke a little bit. I'm not for open pit coal mine. I don't think we really even need to be on coal. Do I think we should be shutting down at rapid paces? We should probably think twice about it, but I'm not necessarily saying, yo, we should just dive in and deface the entire planet and just go back to coal. I realize that natural gas is a much better solution, which is why they've ultimately failed in this, as Stu mentioned. They could have had long-term contracts with any other country besides Russia. But why did they go with Russia? Because it was cheap and it was close.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying you had any other choice, but Trump warned about this in 2018. Stu was talking about this when we started the podcast back in 2018, 2019. You know, this is a slow creep, 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 creep. We're here now. And guess what? We get an open pit coal mine because of it. So, you know, gotta love it.
And all right, we're going to the next one. You know, Michael, you tried to say it, the Halvania Kristen.
Yeah, something like that. Halvina Kristen, whatever it's called.
Refuses to take electric cars on board. Is this electric vehicle racism? Now, Michael, this is a kind of funny story from the outside looking in. It's an ultra modern and climate friendly ship will not take electric or hybrid cars along the coastal journey. Because of safety reasons, Michael, the only transport of kinds is these permitted is fossil fuels.
The article writes itself. We don't even have to we don't even have to say anything going forward other than the new world's most efficient climate friendly ship will not take EVs.
And it's because they self-combust. This means that electric
electric
cars,
vehicles may self-combust.
Are not allowed on board. Yeah. Go figure that out, dude. Anyway, okay. So that's going on.
The inmates are running the asylum.
Yep. Okay. Let's go back to some more. We're whizzing across the pond to the United States. This one has really brought up a burr under my saddle for a long time. The USDA reveals that U.S. corn harvests are critically low amid mega drought. Should ethanol be shut down permanently? And my answer is, Michael, yes. We are in the world's biggest food crisis that has been seen in a millennia. I mean, it's going to get bad. Now, here's why. Ethanol has never been proven good for the environment or the cars that use the fuel. The world will need all the food it can get. Now, Michael, it takes 2 times the amount of energy to make ethanol than it does just making regular unleaded gas. This is not a question of whether or not we need to be using biofuel. Let's use biofuel from trash. Ah, there's a good one. Well, so
my issue with ethanol is only because this was implemented in the early 2000s as a way to basically directly subsidize Midwest farmers. I mean, you can argue that the Bush administration did this, you know, to attempt to wean us off natural gas and attempt to do all these other things. I mean, sure, that's maybe what they said. But at the end of the day, their motivation was a subsidy to farmers who desperately needed it. I mean, we are moving the farming business has shifted very rapidly from individual ranches and farms to large, huge corporate farms in which you can do a lot more. You can have a different variety of crop, but maintain lower margins and still make your money. Whereas if you are a single family farm, you may have one to two crops that's all your soil can do. You get corn, you get soybean. Soybeans are helpful, but I mean, you know, there's only so much soybeans we're using. On the other hand, if you can keep the demand for corn high, you can, at a practical level, subsidize these farmers and keep them from, whether it's getting out of the business, selling out to more of a corporate farm or less. So, you know, as much as I dislike ethanol, I don't care much about ethanol. The point is, this rule was created as a direct subsidy. And at some point, if we want to take away that subsidy, someone's going to get hurt. And so that's my only concern with, okay, we got to ban ethanol. Well, what do you do then, Stu? What do you do with all of these farmers who are creating corn that literally only goes towards ethanol? Demand's not going elsewhere.
If you had an administration that had a plan or the ability to plan past next week's election or any election, they could make a policy that would do it. The world needs our corn. The world needs it. We could enhance trading and let the markets kick in. All we have to do is make sure that China does not buy any farms in the U.S. China should be banned from buying our farms. And then you can create the largest, we could become, again, the world supplier of food. So anyway, my personal opinion.
For policy?
Do what?
Everybody's mandated two bowls of cornflakes every day. That's my policy.
I'd do it as long as they left the additives out of there.
That's for another one. What do you got next?
Okay, next one. This one is, we were just talking about that all of the people of the world need low-cost energy, period. You know my feelings on that. Let's take care of humanity. This story got me really worked up, and it is Pakistan's LNG crisis sparks dangerous bag gas trade and children are at risk. This one really gets me all worked up. And it's in Pakistan, with no natural gas supply to homes or residents of Karak carry gas to meet their household needs in plastic bags. This is horrible. They're literally moving bombs. Karak has a huge estimated reserves of oil and gas, while to the Karak people, the legal gas connections are not provided since 2007. This is despicable. They have the natural gas, and it would just, this to me makes sense. Instead of, look at the pictures on that, Michael. Mm-hmm. These kids are carrying big bags of reusable gas that they put in there, and then they haul it back so they can cook. This to me is horrific, and it's really what the energy crisis is all about.
One spark and all those kids are just in flames, which is, in my opinion, as you said, is as big of a humanitarian crisis as we've seen. And it's, you know, and this has more to do with the Pakistani government and the infrastructure that they built and their ability to not, you know.
But it's also
you can't have this. You can't. I mean, it's tough to look at. It's these kids holding legitimate balloons, but that's not helium. That's natural gas.
Ooh. Right. And this is you have climate crisis, you have energy crisis, and then you have humanitarian crisis. We're at the junction of those three items: the climate crisis, the energy crisis, and the humanitarian. How we manage all three of those will determine how we see the other end. Okay, enough of that one. I got that off my chest today, Michael. This one's a fun story. And I think this one's a great story. The world's largest FSRU gets upgraded for deployment to Hong Kong. And as you said, this is a floating and storage natural gas degasification plant in Hong Kong. And it's the MOL FSRU Challenger, now has a normal capacity of 600 million cubic feet per day. and a storage capacity of 263,000 meters. I'm gonna look and see how that rolls through.
It's like meters cubed.
Cubed. Thank you.
Sorry, I help you out. I help you out with the math, guys.
I can't read it because of my eye.
That's what it is.
Yeah, the sun got in my eyes at 5 o'clock at night. So the original nominal regasification was 540 MMCFD and a maximum of 720. That's a big jump, Michael.
Yeah, that is. I mean, again, places like Hong Kong, Japan, you know, mainland China specifically, I mean, they don't have a lot of onshore or access to these type of refined products. So any chance they get to get more of them is, you know, you can applaud. I know Hong Kong has been dealing with some geopolitical things from China. Do you think does this mean anything in between the Hong Kong and Chinese relationships, dude? Does this signal anything?
Nope. That's President Xi is going to do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to do it. He's like the big bull in the corner, or the big white striped ape. When does the white striped ape go to bed?
It's a good question.
Anytime he wants to. That's a good point. With that, let me just say this one thing. Liquid nitrogen testing was conducted with liquid nitrogen at negative 196 Celsius. That's nuts. Anyway,
cold. It's cold. You might need some extra gloves down there.
Oh, that's bad. Anyway, that's it for me. Thanks for letting me get a bunch of that stuff off my chest. I appreciate it.
Yeah, as always, it's depressing, but we appreciate you.
We had some good stories.
We had some good stories. You're right.
Yeah. Fun.
Fun, but depressing.
Yeah, let's go to finance.
Not much better, if only for the fact that we did see $80 oil on Friday. So that signifies a great thing for us as we record this about 5:50 here on the 15th. Oil's trading 79.90. Nat gas opened at 360, which is actually up about 20 cents from where it closed at about 340. So decent sign for the bullishness. Not much happened really over the weekend, Stu. None of them weather models really shifted. It looks like there might be a little bit of a warmer weather swinging in. But again, all eyes will be on crude oil this week and really, you know, what happens from here. You know, we saw, you know, is there enough momentum to carry this 80, 85 on the WTI side? You know, Brent's currently sitting at 80, at 87. Do you see that pop up of 90, 92? Again, it's going to be a very interesting week. You know, I think the only other thing on crude oil we did get on Friday, Stu, we got U.S. rig count up 3 from last week. Currently, we have 775 rigs as of January 13th. Great number. That's up 170 rigs from last year. So somebody's drilling at least. I think the other interesting thing, Stu, is before we let people go here, top diamond producer De Beers. So now we're going to swivel over to the mining. Names right. New CEO. New CEO is the former executive vice president of the Africa and European unit for Equinor. Interesting. De Beers Diamond Mine hiring Equinor's VP, executive vice president, and a longtime oil and gas employee. He worked for Equinor and then used to work for BP. His name is Al Cook.
Right.
I don't know what this means for signals.
What? Is he cooking with gas?
Well, why does somebody like De Beers, a diamond company, need to reach into the oil and gas space to find a CEO? Is this signifying a shift in De Beers' policy instead of maybe being more behind the scenes? Do they plan on being a little bit more forefront and getting out in front of the ESG space? I mean, coming from BP and Equinor, if there's anybody
that makes sense.
If there's anybody who's used, there's anybody who's used to dealing with, right, you know, being in an industry in which the world hates and the world wants to shut down, it's oil and gas people. De Beers isn't necessarily known for their good practices. Yes, their monopoly. They probably have been involved over the years in the murder of, you know, thousands of people in terms of the blood diamond trade. Now, we're not putting those deaths on their doorstep, but when you do about 80, 90% of the world's diamond volume, you do a little bit. We got to give you just a little bit of credit for anything good or bad that happens in that business. Right. So I just think it's very interesting them making that move, dipping into the oil and gas space. I'm also reading here on the article, they're trying to roll out blockchain so you can see where your diamonds been. I mean, they're trying to get you involved in everything. Wow. Other than the fact that these diamonds were acquired by little kids with hammers chopping away at mines. So maybe they should throw on their app how many kids it took to get you that diamond. That's probably.
Ooh, smack. That was a WWF, man. That was
brutal. It was, which will now probably be owned by Saudi Arabia. So that's fun fact there. WWF is about to get sold to the Saudi Public Investment Fund. Google and Vince McMahon's taking some of that LIV Golf money.
Wow. I did not see that one coming.
Unsubstantiated, but that's the rumor on the street.
Real quick, what do you think about the professional golfers going over to the LIV league?
Love it.
I think it's great. If you want my honest opinion, let's get the Professional Golf Association here in the U.S. Let's get them some competition.
Yeah. I mean, again, people are mad because Saudi Arabia was 100% involved in the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, a right. United States citizen who wrote for the Washington Post. I mean, it's like 1,000% this, you know, MBS probably 1,000% ordered the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. So I think that, you know, chaps people a little bit. But on the other hand, everyone's got a phone right here. If you're on YouTube, you can see my iPhone. I mean, there's probably like 4 slaves that died trying to get me this phone. I mean, all the computer equipment around me was made in the Congo, was mined in China. The Uyghurs probably touched it. All the stuff that Stu's looking at. Stu's trying to put a nice face on, but he's got more computer equipment than I do. We were just setting up equipment at a clients. I mean, talk about the microchips in that room, Stu, we were at on Saturday. So, and for people to start getting moral about who you do business with when it comes to LIV Golf, because everyone, oh, you can't move over to LIV Golf. Why can't you take the Saudi blood money? As they're typing that on a phone made by slaves.
Exactly. You
know, about the hypocrisy that goes into that. So I have no problem with LIV Golf. I think the PGA is conveniently using the LIV, Saudi murders people as a cover for, they're just upset that people are actually leaving and it's a threat to their business. Again, at the end of the day, the PGA is a corporation. They don't have morals. Their morals are money. There's no That's such exactly thing as right. a moral corporation. That's an oxymoron. You know,
well, the hypocrisy,
morals are to money.
The hypocrisy is the administration, the U.S. government has killed a lot of folks as well, too. And we'll just leave all that alone. So if you want to talk about hypocrisy, don't get me started.
And again, on that depressing note, guys, I think we're going to let you get out of here. Start your week. Gotta love these Monday shows, guys. We get you ready for the upcoming week. For Stuart Turley, I'm Michael Tanner. We'll see you tomorrow.